Okay, so the first question I have is, after being waived by Detroit and Chicago in 1959, you joined the Patriots in their first season in 1960. What did you do in the 59 offseason? And then what were your first impressions of the Patriots when you arrived?
Now I'm stretching my imagination because I've got Alzheimer's and I don't remember a whole lot
Okay.
because I hit too many people and my head is not in good shape.
Okay.
So I'm going to try to give you as much as I can give you.
Whatever you've got is fine.
Okay, now ask your question again.
Okay. So you were with Detroit and Chicago of the NFL in 1959 in their training camps, and then you were released. You joined the Patriots in 1960. What were your first impressions of the Patriots, the camp, the organization, and I guess the AFL in general?
Well, I was disappointed in getting cut by the Lions and by the Bears because I was an Illinois boy, and Chicago Bears would have been my right choice. And I played in the Chicago Tribune All-Star game, which gave me some excitement. When I went to the Patriots, I was excited about that too because that gave me another chance to play in football. Pro football. And I made it with them and got my family established out on the little island outside of Boston. And that was a lot of fun. And was able to get into practice every day. And my wife liked that too. And that made it good for both of us. And we learned a little bit about life doing that because it was all different people that we met. And fortunately, the training camps were very well done and met some great football players and some great men that I enjoyed a lot. And the whole list of them, I can't remember. But you could go down the line of the list of them, and then I would remember, but I don't remember their names.
Sure, well, you had guys like Bob D on
Oh,
defense.
sure, Bob D.
And
And why do you have a list of the players?
I can have in a moment, yeah. Let's see.
Because that would trigger my memory.
Well, I remember Ross O'Hanley was there, a defensive back.
Yes, he was. He was at strong safety.
Let's see.
Not only was he a good football player, but he was a good-looking guy.
Tom Addison.
He was the right-sided linebacker. He was a strong player.
Let's see. Who else on the defense? Fred Bruni.
Fred was one of the safeties, and he was a good man too.
Let's see. How about Jim Earthquake Hunt?
He played up front.
Well, you remember most of them. Jack Rudolph was a linebacker.
Sure was with me. He was on the right. I think he was right outside.
Yeah, you've got most of them. So you played in the very first AFL game when the Patriots played the Broncos in 1960.
Yeah, they came in with striped socks up and down.
And one of the
Didn't take them long to get rid of those.
one of the things that they've become famous for that they probably wish everybody would forget. Now, what obviously the AFL you know, that was a historic game, or it has become a historic game, you know, now nearly 60 years later. Were the players, what was the thought going into that? Did you guys think that you were starting something that was going to be as big and successful and important as it became, or was it just another football game to you guys?
Well, it wasn't just another football game because, for instance, for me, I got cut by the Lions, I got cut by the Bears, and now I was being brought into another camp. And each time you go into camps, you meet all kinds of players and all kinds of coaches. Mm-hmm. And so when you come into a camp, you got little concerns, so you had to be ready for them. And you had to be able to make friends with all kinds of new people. And I had to bring my family from Illinois to Boston, which I took them out. When I brought them in, I took them out to we actually lived on a island just mm-hmm. off the coast of Boston.
Okay.
And it was a lot of fun for Kay and I. That's my wife.
Yeah.
And we were able to meet people, enjoy people, and then when we had to go away, it was kind of disappointing. But yeah. That's what football's all about.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was one of my next questions. Actually, was, you know, you had a interesting relationship with Lou Saban, or a long-standing one. He was with Detroit when you were there in 1959 in camp. You played for Lou with the Patriots in 62, and then he brought you to Buffalo in 63.
Yeah, not only that, but I played against him at Bradley University, and he coached Western Illinois State University, which we played against each other.
Okay.
That's how I became a middle linebacker instead of a defensive tackle.
Oh, yeah?
Or offensive tackle. He knew that I had talents for reading plays. He could see it on when I played against him. And so he put me at middle linebacker, which was the first time I ever played there. And he also knew I was intelligent, so that's the first time I ever started calling all the plays.
Okay.
And so that gave me a chance to become the whole linebacker. So I called all the plays, and when I got to the Buffalo Bills, I had Mike Stratton and John Tracy sitting on the outsides, and I knew what their capabilities are, and then I knew what the four defensive backs and the four linemen were talented and what their talents are, and Joe Collier built defenses around those talents, but he didn't call the plays. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a part of what made me love the game. Mm-hmm. Love the game anyhow, but being able to be the quarterback of the defense and really be that in calling all the plays, even in the tightest of times, even when the play was for the game, they'd let me call it.
Uh-huh.
And that was great.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Huh. Interesting. That certainly makes you wonder how you didn't become a, you know, a 40-year or 50-year coach after your retirement as a player. I bet you knew defenses and offenses every bit as well as many of the coaches that are in the game today.
That's right. And I decided when I finished my career, I had come to Buffalo and finished my career, and I wanted to be a coach for businesses.
Okay.
So I still continued coaching, and I still have a business, the Jacobs Team, which my son runs. He played football, and he's the coach of our clients, and he goes all across the country. I just did it in Buffalo. He goes all across the country coaching businesses for business succession.
Interesting.
That's our highlight, is we coach business, family businesses mainly, to succeed their businesses into the future. And we talk about the team-based organizations and things like that. So it's all around the football analogies that I worked with all my life.
That's great. That's really neat to hear.
Well, it was, really was fun. It's really been fun for David. David, my son, owns our business now, and he does a better job than I do with coaching family businesses. He has a relationship with people that I wasn't able to have, and I had was able to build good relationships, but he does a better job than I did.
Mm-hmm. You sound like a very proud father.
I am.
That's great. You know, you started to touch on these two guys that you played with in Buffalo, your linebacking teammates, John Tracy and Mike Stratton. You guys set a professional football record by playing 62 games together as a linebacking unit more than anybody else. What can you tell me about the relationships that you built with guys after playing with them for that long, and how valuable it is on the field to know guys like that as well as you did?
Well, it was just so important because I knew what they could do, and that they did it almost every time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have to worry about putting them in the right spot at the right time. If it wasn't the right spot at the right time, they would adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Stratton was as fast as you could get. John Tracy was as smart and fast too. But I had the other guys in the backfield were great too. Were just full of life for me. Booker Ederson was, now there goes my mind.
George Sames.
George Sames was our free safety. He was a great one.
Uh-huh.
Really was a great one. I remember a Kansas City football game, and I called George on a blitz down on the goal line, and he argued with me. And I said, go get it, George. And, of course, when they snapped the ball, he did what I said.
Uh-huh.
And he hit the quarterback, and he dropped the ball. He picked it up for a touchdown. I said, see, it worked, George.
Probably didn't argue with you as much after that, huh? Now, you know, there's a lot of, you guys get a lot of credit, that linebacking crew, but you had four incredible linemen in front of you as well.
Oh, did we ever?
Tom Sestak, Ron McDowell, Jim Dunaway, and Tom Day. What can you tell me about those guys?
Well, Tom was a strong, really capable man. He died first.
Right.
And which was sad for us. Mm-hmm. Went to his funeral and didn't like it.
Yeah.
And Ron McDowell was, what do we call him? Dancing Feet, I think we called him.
Dancing Bear?
He was so able to get around the offensive tackles and make plays. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Dunaway just was a big, tall, heavy man that played the game and knew how to do it. And who was our other guy?
Tom Day.
Tom Day, yeah, I talked about him. And he just was a great guy, too. But we had another guy. Tom Day was an end.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the other guard?
Let me get my book out and take a look. You had linebacker Ron McDowell, Leroy Moore, Tom Sestak.
Oh, Tom Sestak.
Yeah.
How could I forget Tom? He was as solid as a rock. If I had to choose the best of the four, he was.
Yeah. You know, there's a lot of people that think that he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. And and unfortunately he died.
Right. Right.
So did
Tom Day did as well.
Tom Day did too.
Mm-hmm.
But Tom Sestak just was a stud. And he protected me. All of those guys made it capable for me to play. Because I wasn't as big as other linebackers. But I was smart. I knew what to call. And the players did what they were supposed to do. And they protected me. And they knew I was small. So they protected me, and they did their jobs, which protected me.
So the Bills were underdogs in both the 1964 and 65 AFL championship games, but obviously you won both of them. Did you guys have problems with being underdogs, especially in 65 after you'd beaten up on the Chargers the year before?
Not a bit. We knew what we were. We know who we were, how we would do it, and we did it. So we were confident, and we didn't have any problems with what people thought. We just knew who we were, and we were satisfied with that.
Okay. Now, of course, everybody remembers Mike Stratton's hit on Keith Lincoln in the 64 championship game.
I guess.
What can you say about that? What kind of a momentum turner was that for you guys?
That was a great one. And just to be able to know that he made the play, I called the play, and everybody else did their jobs. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to make that play. But Mike was such a strong, fast linebacker. And he did what he was told to do, and he came up and hit that guy like you can't believe.
I've seen the films. It was pretty impressive.
Yes, it was. Yeah, and it did great things for all of all other 10 guys.
Yeah.
It just made them excited and helped win the game.
Yep. All right, now let's for a moment shift course and talk about an offensive player. The AFL was full of interesting guys. Namath and Wahoo McDaniel, all kinds of interesting characters. But you played with maybe one of the greatest talents and greatest characters in pro football history, Cookie Gilchrist. What?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Tell me a couple of Cookie Gilchrist stories.
Well, you remember, my memory's not too good.
Okay, yeah.
Cookie came in from Canada. And he just was a strong, capable man. He ran over people. And that was his good trait. Tell me some things that you'd like to know, because I don't remember a whole lot, as I told you.
Okay. One of the things that impresses me is Cookie's self-confidence. He, you know, from what I understand, and I'm a little bit younger. I was born in 1972, so I never saw the AFL myself. But from everything I understand, Cookie had a supreme confidence in himself. He felt like he on the field was better than any other man out there. What can you tell me about that?
Well, I didn't play on offense, so I can't tell you a whole lot about that. But I could tell you that from a defensive person's standpoint, I like that. Because that enabled him to put the offense on the field a lot. And if the offense was on the field a lot, that meant the defense wasn't on the field a lot.
Right.
So, but Cookie was just such a strong, able runner, and just plowed over people that they didn't think that could be done. And he also had enough finesse that he could get around people too.
Now he was obviously a offensive back for you guys, but played a little bit of linebacker too on occasion, if I'm not correct, and also did a little bit of kicking.
I did kicking, but he didn't play linebacker.
No linebacker at all?
No.
Okay. Okay, maybe that was in Canada that I had read about. But certainly one of the most physically...
You know, let me tell you, he would have been able to.
Uh-huh.
Except that we had Tracy, Stratton, and Jacobs.
Yeah.
And if we had four linebackers, which we use sometimes, Jack Rudolph came in there.
Okay. Okay. All right.
We wanted him to stay safe and play offense because he was such a powerful offensive player.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, the Bills began a long downhill slide after the 66 season. What can you attribute that to, do you think?
I'm not sure. Maybe coaching.
Okay.
But I'm really not sure.
Okay. Okay. And you're one of just 20 men to play all 10 seasons of the AFL. You talk about the pride that you have in the old AFL and just how it's affected your life.
Well, it's brought me to Buffalo and brought me a chance to have the business that I built, and now my son owns it and has let me sit at my desk where I'm sitting right now, which is the Jacobs team.
Uh-huh.
And without professional football, I wouldn't have been sitting here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a good thing to be sitting here at 78 and still being able to have ability to have a mindset to want to get in and finish things for people. We're still coaching companies for succession planning all across the country. I just did it in Western New York, but my son David, who owns the business now, is going across America, and that's so good for me to see that. And I'm not even involved in that part of it because I just stay around here. But he's doing a great job.
That's great. That's wonderful. Last question. there's a strong feeling that the American Football League players have really been overlooked in terms of getting recognition from the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There's a number of fantastic players that probably deserve induction but have not really seemingly been given any serious consideration. What do you think about that, and why do you think the AFL players have been overlooked for so long?
Well, to be honest with you, I haven't thought about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing that I did when I came out of the football was just make a living for my family, which was starting the Jacobs team.
Sure.
And I did so much at that with building up the process of succession planning through team building and trying to coordinate that with the process of what we use in the pro football in team building, that I really wasn't cognizant of it. I really didn't stay up with the team Buffalo Bills. I hardly go to games anymore. I had a suite at one time, but I've dropped that. So I just let God lead me, and that's the premise on which I base my life, is that God's Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and he's going to lead me in the way he wants me to go. And has not been, as your interview is indicating, as you feel that I don't remember things. I think that's probably because what I've been doing is not in that area. I've not lived off what I did before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really satisfying for me because I'm not only a football player.
Right.
But I've been a coach of businesses. Some people have asked me, why didn't you cook football? And I could have done that. But I really got into the business field and established the Jacobs team in 1961. And it's still established.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jacobs team is a business planning team for helping businesses, family businesses, succeed themselves into the future. And that's been such an exciting thing for me. And even more exciting has been the fact that my son played for the Buffalo Bills for a season, not a season, but a preseason.
Uh-huh.
And went to college and played football, a strong safety. But he came out of the football world and went into business with me, and we established together the Jacobs team, and he has done such a great job. I just went around Buffalo working with businesses, family businesses, to succeed them into the future. But he started out, we got a referral from a good friend of mine, Don Meyer, who's has a great lumber business, and he's got connections in all of the lumber companies across the country. And so David started working with him, and we now have, we were just talking with Rob, one of our key employees, about how well that's been instituted across the country. And it's just really exciting for me to sit back, because they don't let me involved in the business. But sit back and watch what David and Rob and the other key people are doing for family businesses to succeed them into the future. And that's what's going to keep America strong. And I'm so pleased with that. It's much better than playing football.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, it is. It is for me.
Well, congratulations, Mr. Jacobs. It sounds like you've you had a fantastic football career, and it sounds like you've had an even better business career in the years since. Sounds like a wonderful life.
I've got even a greater family career, which is great for me.
Yep.
My wife just had friends of her come in from Illinois who had a son who is playing football, and I can't remember who he said for, but they came in because of her relationship, and we sat on our back porch and had supper with them, and that was such a delight for me.
Yeah.
It's that success of family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about.
That's
what America's about, is success of families, in my estimation, anyhow.
Wonderful. Well, thank you very much for your time, Mr. Jacobs. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for taking the time.
You bet. Have a great day.
Okay. God bless you.
Thank you. You too.